This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 401. We made it. We got over the hump. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I am so excited.
Yeah?
Our listeners are going to love this, dude, aren't they?
I'm sure they will.
They're going to love the whole new way we're going to do our podcast. We've ditched the old formula. We're coming up with a whole new style of podcast. We've refreshed the entire look, haven't we, mate?
This is news to me.
tell everyone what we're going to do different from now on. We're not going to do all just the same old me and you rabbiting on and talking about stuff and then going away. We're going to now do what? Just tell him. I'll let you do it because it was your idea. What?
Nothing. I've covered it.
Nothing's going to change. I thought we were going to revamp the whole style of podcast we were going to do. Isn't that what we announced last episode?
Why did you think that?
Maybe it's a dream I had.
Maybe. How has your week been?
So same normal stuff is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, people.
It's worked for 400 episodes so far. Why change it now?
They go nowhere fast.
It's like the Leica logo, mate.
That's a fair point. Yeah, we are the red dot. Yeah, unfortunately, the red dot on our head is a laser from somebody's rifle scope.
That's right.
Yeah,
what are you
gonna do? How's my week been? My week's been it's been okay. I'm still battling the old man flu, so I'm a little bit the Shetland pony at the moment.
It's no good.
Yeah, a little horse. In case you didn't get the reference. Yeah. I did a camera club talk last night.
Oh, yeah? How'd it go?
Oh, yeah, I was fabulous.
I did love the opening speech. Was that written by somebody else, or did you write that for them?
I was writing my own. I insisted on writing my own introductions.
That's great.
So it was, we are proud to have Glyn Lavender as tonight's speaker. Glyn is well known as the best photographer in his family. He owns a really good camera, so he takes good photographs. I won't say any more about Glyn, as his favourite subject is himself, so I'm sure we'll all know far more about more than we want to by the end of the talk. He is Glyn. And I had my kids with me last night too.
Oh, nice.
And there's a piano in the corner. There's an old church. And so they played a piano entrance as I walked up on stage. You know, that was just a musical accompaniment. You know?
Nice.
So it was pretty good. It was all downhill from there, of course. It was just me rabbiting on. 228 PowerPoint pages in 57 minutes or something.
Oh, jeez.
As I said to him, I said, look, it's 230 pages, but it's only going to feel like about 195. So it's not too bad. Even I, there was a couple of ladies asleep in the front row, and even I was asleep from about slide 70 to about slide 130. A little nap in between.
Nice.
it was quite good. And the worst thing is, not the worst thing, but there's quite a lot, because it was a Canberra club, and a lot of the members are going to the Victorian Associated Photographic Society conference in 2 weekends' time.
Right.
Where I'm a keynote speaker, and it's
so they're going to have to put up with you again.
Yeah, and listen to pretty much the same drivel all over again.
Right.
But there'd be variation. I said to them, I said, look, I've only got one hobby horse, so you'd have to hear a variation of the same stuff you're hearing tonight. Same stuff, different words.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else to say.
Right.
Which is a bit of a struggle. I've been trying to come up with some new ideas for talks for clubs and stuff and conferences, and I've got nothing.
Okay.
I'm working on the premise. The opening slides at the main conference in a couple of weeks' time is going to be give up.
Quit while you're ahead.
Give up photography. No, seriously, all seriousness, it's going to be just give up.
Right.
You want to go out and take a Milky Way photo? Look online. Everyone's done better than you already. Don't bother. You want to take a landscape photo? Look online. Everyone's done better. Don't bother. You want to do a macro shot? Forget about it. You want to do a port? No, don't even think about it. Travel? Don't even think about travel. Just no. What's the point? Everything's better than what we can do anyway. So why bother? And then I'm going to say, thanks for coming, and walk off. It may be somewhat of a shock to them, I'm thinking.
You reckon? It might curtail the number of invitations you get to speak.
That's a fair point, I guess. But then I'm going to come back to, well, that's all true. Everything I just said is completely true. Totally 1,000% true. So why the hell are you doing it?
Yep.
And it's got to bounty be because it makes you happy. So stop worrying about what other people think.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about judges. Stop worrying about competing with Facebook likes, everything else. If the only person you can do it for is yourself and for your own satisfaction and your own joy, because you're not as good as everybody else already.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be.
Yeah.
So forget about it.
If you were, you probably wouldn't be sitting in this audience.
Exactly right. And I wouldn't be up here talking. So that's kind of thing. That's kind of the, you know, trying to reset the mindset of why the hell you're taking the photo in the first place.
That is going to be one hell of a way to set up a talk.
Not bad, eh?
If you go through with that, that is going to be awesome.
Oh, I'll go through with it, I assure you. You know me well enough.
You got to get that videoed, because I reckon there's going to be some shock and awe in the room.
last night's was the art of photographing people you don't know.
Right.
The first slide is, people always ask me, how do you walk up to complete strangers and ask to take the photo? The next slide is, you just walk up and ask. The next slide was, thank you for coming. Lights.
Nice.
Because the easy thing about taking photographs of someone is asking them.
Right. Then you've got to deliver on the promise.
Making the photo good is the hard part. Yeah. You know? The getting past that fear to go up and say hello to somebody is, whilst it's not easy for anybody, it's the easiest part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because then trying to honor that connection of the photo you want to create.
Because then there's an expectation that you're going to deliver something worth looking at.
Yeah, exactly. and as I said, we often don't, but we often stuff that up and we don't do as good a job as we could have done. But so that's going to be my start anyway for the
match. That's awesome. I love it already.
It's going to have a bit of kick to it. Yeah. And it's about resetting that mindset about, don't worry. And I said this last night too. Yeah, I know camera clubs love competitions and there's judging and all sorts of stuff going on down there. And as long as you're going into it with the right mindset, and that mindset's got to be, I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
This is the photo I like and this is why I'm putting it in.
Yeah.
Ignore everything any judge says to you. Ignore whether you come first, second or 43rd.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy the taking of the photo, and if you don't enjoy the photo on its own merit, no one else is going to make you happy about it.
Yep, good point.
So a lot of this thing's all about competition, and competition's a way of having some camaraderie, I guess, as well through these clubs. It's a fix, a bond that gives people a reason to exist.
Yeah,
not to do skills, because what's the point of going to a camera club? I'm just thinking about this right now, live and in my head. What's the point of going to a camera club if we're going there is to learn skills? There's got to be more to it than that.
Right.
So you're going to be then sharing the images.
Why does there have to be more to it than that? Like, why could someone who wants to learn, who appreciates that there are other people probably in the club who know more than they do, what's wrong with them going along to learn more skills?
Nothing wrong to learn, but that can't be the only reason for it.
Right.
Okay. There's got to be the social. There's got to be the actual going out and doing, not the sitting around talking about and learning about.
Oh, for sure.
And so whilst I would rather see camera clubs do joint exhibitions rather than club versus club competitions, because I think it should be a sharing of the joy of the photos, not a who's better than who.
Yep.
But you still need something to bond the greater society of clubs together, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the format they've settled on. But I said this last night's talk was, how can someone's subjective opinion mean take away the joy of you taking that photograph? So, yes, go on.
To answer that, it comes down to the self-image of the photographer in question.
Absolutely.
As to how confident they are in their own work.
It was a selfie competition.
No, not selfies.
Psychological.
That's the one.
So that's last night's talk. I've got 2 weeks to actually build this presentation.
So I'm keen to know, do you let the organizer of the event in on the gag before you go on stage?
No. Really? In fact, they're not even allowed to read my bio.
Wow.
They're not even allowed to look at my bio until they're standing there ready to introduce me. Yeah, and my bio is always themes like, you know, the words amazing, incredible, and astounding are rarely used when it comes to tonight's speaker. Or stuff like, we're so pleased to have Glenn Lavender here. He's the winner of 6 consecutive best speakers since our last speaker awards. So stuff that kind of throws them straight away.
Yeah.
That they know they're not in for just like a normal evening.
Right.
They're in for, yeah, it's not going to be, yes. And when I was in Upper Combuctor West, I took a photograph of Mrs. Johnson with her washing line. And yes, what you'll notice in the photograph that coming out of the horizon there on the right-hand side, that's the sun. So we took the photograph early one morning up in the Upper Combuctor West at Mrs. Johnson's house, funnily enough, and in the backyard where she has her clothesline. And as I've mentioned previously, that it was sunrise.
1 minute later.
I noticed, if you look on the line, that Mrs. Johnson never mixes her colours with her whites. Now, this makes it quite difficult to take an interesting photograph because when she takes all the colours, the photo is quite dark because she wears a lot of blacks.
And another minute later.
She does her whites like her sheets and, well, let's not mention the unmentionables because if we mentioned the unmentionables, then they'd be mentionable.
And still another minute later.
The whole mood, the evocative mood of the photograph can really boil down to not Mrs. Johnson, not the wonderful rising sunrise and the assorted clouds in the sky, but the mood of the photograph really comes down to whether you're there on the day of the coloureds or the whites.
Okay. Can we get back to photography?
This is photography. This is what can happen in the real world of photography. You go there, you want to do a shot of Mrs. Johnson, and she's doing the coloureds, and it's a whole different mood than she's been doing the whites, and it's out of your control, unless you've pre-arranged. Excuse me, Mrs. Johnson, I'm coming up next Thursday to do your photograph of you doing the laundry. Can you tell me, are you doing coloureds or are you doing whites? Coloureds? Okay, can I come the following Thursday? This is the reality of photography too, though. You know? That's stupid as that little whole thing. If you went there on a day when the X type of laundry versus Y type of laundry, it will change the mood and feel of the photograph.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
What a load of cops wallet. Adelaide.
Yes.
Adelaide, well, I'm coming over there on June the 22nd.
Nice. I love Adelaide.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lovely place to visit.
I could live there very easily.
I used to live there, so
did
that's
you?
Why I said to live there, yeah, to visit. Yeah, I lived there when I first came to Australia.
Oh, right.
1971.
Nice.
Through to about 1974 or 5, I think I was living there for.
Yeah.
Right. Longest 3 years of my life. But I'm coming there to Diamond's Camera Store. They're doing some big promo. I'm coming over there for Tamron and doing a travel talk on travel photography.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Johnson's washing. So, Adelaide, I think it's all going to be on the Diamond's website soon for bookings. It's a free event, but come along if you're over there. And if there's anyone of interest, I might even stay around and do a workshop the next day. So if anyone's interested, let me know. Mm-hmm. I announced my Brisbane workshop early this week as well. I got that organised finally. So I'm there, and next time back in Brisbane, 11th to the 12th of August. I think there's 2 spots left for the weekend. It's mostly sold out. And we're trying to put together.
And is there a theme for the Brisbane workshop?
A natural light portraits one day and creative flash the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Same shtick I always do.
Cool.
And I'm looking at maybe doing another talk up there that night as well.
Right.
And Townsville, if you have any listeners in Townsville, stay tuned. I'm possibly coming up there soon for Tamron as well. So
nice.
That's been my week of just mostly organising stuff.
Good time of the year to be up there, actually. If you're going to go to Townsville, go in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Go when it's not as hot and horrible and sticky and bleh. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, shall we get into some stories?
We had a good response to our 400 episode.
We did. We had lots of emails came in from but mostly the winners, you know, congratulating us once again on 400 episodes and a couple of little
Set
anecdotes.
Addresses to know where to send stuff, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. I was going to congratulate you. Just thought they better say something nice because they've been given something.
That's right. And I'm fine with that. I did notice through the week, Craig Wetchen, who has been on this podcast as a guest in the past, who wrote photographed and wrote a great book, I'm guessing 18 months, 2 years ago now, called Men and Their Sheds, put up a thing on Facebook saying that he got the news this week that the company who published that book is about to go out of business. They are sitting on roughly 3,100 copies of that book, and if Craig can't come up with the $60,000 to cover the cost of those books are going to get pulped. So naturally, he's pretty gutted because he spent, you know, probably the best part of 2 or 3 years photographing all of that content and putting that work together, and obviously was very proud of the book, as anyone would be if they, you know, produced a work of that caliber. So naturally he's gutted. So he would like to, you know, obviously get advance orders for as many more copies of that book as he possibly can. So I said to him that if he wasn't able to at least come on the podcast for 5 minutes, which he wasn't able to do, that I would at least give him a shout out on this episode and remind people, if you have an interest in depression, which is what, you know, part of that book was about, was men dealing with depression, but it's also a photographic essay of men and their sheds, then, you know, check it out. I'll find a link for it where you can buy it and put that in the show notes. If we can try and help move a few more copies for him, that would be fantastic.
So there's 3,100 copies left. Yep. If half our listenership buys it,
that's 100 units each.
33,096 and a half copies left.
Yes.
We haven't really helped much, have we, when you think about it? Yeah, look, there's a couple of things I don't understand. I don't understand why the book publishers would pulp it.
No, neither do I.
As to put it into a clearinghouse.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but, you know, there's nothing.
But I did see John Swainston say something, and I don't remember the exact context of what he said, but he did come up with what seemed like a very good workable plan to at least get 30 cents on the dollar out of all of those books.
That depends if there's a receiver
in
place or if they're just simply closing.
Yeah.
So if there's a receiver in place, then there's an opportunity to make some money out of it.
Right.
Yeah, that all depends on what. So what it really is it's an international publishing house, and they're not going out of business. They're simply just closing their Australian office.
Right.
So it's quite a different scenario than going bankrupt and going to liquidate.
Right. Okay.
And where there's debtors and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. But certainly, if any of you people want to share the link out to the world as best as possible, please do. And if it can help Craig along, he's a really good guy. And like many of us men, we have our issues to deal with. And he's tried to do his part to work through some stuff. And it's a cool book. I mean, it was such a popular book 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I mean, it was number one on a lot of the book. You go to like bookstores and there's a top 10 list, and it was in the top 10 all the time.
Yeah, right.
So it was a popular book.
And the thing is that the content in it isn't going to date.
No, exactly.
So, you know, there's no reason for it.
With really old signage and stuff, and that's already dated.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be one of those photo books you pick up that from the 70s, and you look inside and go, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You took photos of that? No, it's quality photography. And you know, Craig used to be a teacher at Photographic Studies College here in Melbourne, which is one of the most prestigious colleges going around for teaching photography. So, he's a very experienced guy, and so he's a good photographer.
Cool. Now, 12 months ago when I was in Europe, I got an email. Yeah. I got an email from a lady called Laura at a website called cloudwoods.net wanting me to promote a link to an article on her site, tying it in with an old post from Shutters Inc. that we're way back when we were talking about cloud storage.
Yes.
And I remember sending her an email at the time and saying, look, I'm on holiday in Europe at the moment. I'll be home in a few weeks. I'll have a look at it then. And, of course, then I went ahead and archived the email and completely forgot about it. And then last week she sent me an email again and went, just wondered if you'd thought any more about this. And I went, what the hell is this all about? And I had to go back through my email and see what it was about. So I went to the link, you know, to this article on her site, and essentially, it's called Three Dropbox Competitors for Secure Storage. And although this article was written a while ago, it's been updated by Joseph Gildred, the guy who wrote it, as recently as May this year.
They've got four now, have they?
No, it is still three. But I thought it was a pretty good article. I had a look through it, and you know, he goes into what Dropbox does right and what they do wrong and why there are some other options that we should be looking at. So I sent Laura an email back and I said, look, I'll do you one better. I'll actually link to it in the podcast this week because I think it's, you know, okay, it's their take on other cloud storage solutions. But I figured, hey, if it gives our audience a chance to be a little bit more informed about cloud storage options, then I'm all for sharing the information. So the link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to go and check that out and have a look and see what the three competitors to Dropbox are and why they might be a better option for you than Dropbox. So, yeah. All righty. What else? I should have covered this when you asked about did we get any feedback from people regarding episode 400. Rob Coates wrote, "G'day, Inks. Wow, never has my flabber been so gasted. I'm very pleased, surprised."
I don't understand.
Okay. "I'm very pleased, surprised, and grateful that you chose my travel shot for the prize. It's only the second time I've ever won anything. The first was a book for having the best manners at the South Woi Woi Sunday School picnic in 1959. Many thanks to Bruce for all the hard yards he does getting the podcast out, to Glyn for twisting the poor sponsor's arm to donate the prizes, and to Narbox for the donation. That gizmo is going to come in very useful when I'm out on the road on my photo jaunts." So thank you, Rob. Much appreciated.
The folk at Narbox read that, or the woman, my main contact, they read it out to the staff in Narbox yesterday, and they loved that. South Woi Woi. Yeah. I thought that was very funny. So that prize is on the way. The rest of them, we're still waiting for a couple of people to come in with their addresses, and then I'll get all the prizes on the way. I haven't got any of the prizes here. I'm going to get them to drop ship from wherever they have to come from.
We've got a couple of stories from Adam. I think we've got one story from Adam that actually goes back about 3 weeks. And this was KFC as explosions. This was a story that appeared on Petapixel of somebody who's done a collection of photographs where they have used pieces of KFC to look like explosions. Now, when you hear that, you think, huh? But when you look at it, you go, yeah, I get it. It's very silly, but it kind of works. So, nice one, Adam.
That I want to get a bunch of KFC drumsticks.
Yeah.
Photograph them and Photoshop them onto chickens.
That's cool.
Like return to the fold kind of thing, you know.
That's a bit cruel.
The whole thing's cruel. I was talking to a lady just the other day. She showed up. It's all the trend here in Australia. I'm not sure if it's the same around the world, to have these down puffer jackets these days. Pleated puffer jacket type things. And I was at school pickup the other day. I said, "Are they ethically sourced down or unethically sourced down?" She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, the ducks.
Yeah.
Do you know the kind of life these poor ducks have?" And she goes, "No." So I told her about it, and she was quite shocked.
Right.
And so she rushed home, and she goes, "I can never wear this jacket again if it's unethically sourced." And fortunately, she found out apparently it was ethically sourced down, or she lied and said. But these poor ducks live in cages. And what I didn't know about ducks is that you can pluck their feathers and they regrow them.
Okay. I did not know that.
Four times a year.
Right. Wow.
These poor ducks are living in cages, having their feathers ripped out four times a year.
What?
Yeah, that's how they get all the feathers for the down. Some duck plucker. Let's try and say that quickly.
Yeah.
Some duck pluckers out there four times a year plucking their duck.
Wow.
Some rather a horrible.
As horrible as that existence is, I'm really impressed that ducks have evolved to replenish their lost feathers that quickly. That's amazing.
Well, I guess if a bird loses its feather, they have to grow back, I guess.
Although
don't they?
I guess it's no different to humans. We cut our hair off and then
feathers.
It grows back. Hey?
Oh, okay.
You don't.
But not really, because it's like pulling out everything from the root.
From
if
the
you lose
root.
A feather, and it grows back all the way, you know. It's impressive, I agree.
Yeah.
No, but the poor, I don't know if they put them in like these machines that roll and tumble them till the feathers come off. for some horrible device to do it, but anyway.
Yeah. And but yeah, but you think about sheep, like you can only shear them once a year. You
can't pluck a sheep.
No, you can't pluck a sheep. Even you can shear them, but you can only shear them once a year.
Do you shear them? No, get your own. So what's the difference between a buffalo and a bison?
I don't know.
You can't wash your hands in a buffalo.
Can't wash your hands with... Hands
in the but you can in a bison.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Dear.
The next one from Adam was an app called 8x10, which is an app that will allow you to sell your art via Instagram. Really? So basically what this does is allow you to pick an image off your mobile device. Yes. And so it doesn't have to be photography. It might be you're a painter and you've taken a photograph of your painting or whatever other artistic work you've come up with. Take a photo of it, load it onto your phone, create a listing for it as a saleable item through the 8x10 app, and then post that to Instagram. So, and you can do things like, framing and signed prints and, limited editions and all kinds of stuff like that. So,
absolutely. So it's a bit like a Redbubble, Etsy kind of thing.
Yeah, sounds like that.
Platform.
Yeah. Interesting. So that link will be in the show notes.
For if I ever take anything worth selling, I might have got a look.
Yes. The next one was about Nikon reporting an 8x increase in annual profit thanks to restructuring and sales of the D850.
Yeah, but they only made $14 profit last year. So yeah, 8x, exactly. That's not anything to be too excited about.
Yeah. And I think the key in that heading is the word restructuring.
Yeah.
I think they probably sacked 1 million people and that's how they've increased their profit.
And wrote off an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And we're more profitable. Because
When you read the details of the story, it's like DSLR sales were down by X number of percent, compact were down by X number of percent, but we still made a 700% increase in profit. It's all you did was cut costs. Exactly. That's not an increase in profit.
That's trying to make your shirt make it sound good in a rapidly dying business.
Exactly.
Because there's not that many people buying D850s that's floating an entire company that size.
Yeah, exactly. So the next story from Adam was about the TSA battery restrictions. So clearing up confusion on flying with lithium ion batteries. So there's a 10-minute video, which I didn't bother watching. But essentially the thing is that And I don't think this is unique just to the US. I think this is, these restrictions are getting tighter and tighter everywhere around the world. The biggest thing is they want to know that your batteries aren't going to come into contact with each other. So probably the safest thing is that you have a proper carry box for your batteries, something that will hold them in place so that they're not likely to come into contact with each other in a way that could cause them to explode. Most of the airlines are now saying that you need to carry these batteries on board in your carry-on luggage so they can't be checked into the baggage that goes under the plane. Because obviously, if they explode inside the cabin, whilst that's still a bad thing, at least you're there and you can deal with it and put the fire out and whatever. But if that happens under the hold where there's nobody to deal with it, then you've got a much bigger issue.
And if you're next to one of those pet containers with puppies inside, it's just not nice for the puppies.
No, it's not nice for the puppies at all. Now, Glyn Lavender.
You have been known to leave home
without your memory cards.
Often and frequently.
Yes. But spare a thought for the NASA astronaut who gets 1,000 kilometres above the surface of the Earth, turns on his GoPro, and gets a no SD card error. this is classic. It's a short video. It's only about 48 seconds or thereabouts. The guy goes, NASA, just got a quick question about the GoPro. And you hear the NASA controller going, what's the problem? He's gone, I'm getting this error that says, no SD card. Do I need that to record? we'll just FedEx one up to you.
That's right. So you throw it really, really hard. Yeah.
That would just ruin your day, wouldn't it? I got a little chuckle out of that one.
Absolutely.
The next one, and this was hilarious as well, GQ, the magazine, Gentleman's Quarterly, mocks Vanity Fair Photoshop fail on their comedy issue cover. So essentially what you've got is this previous story about the Vanity Fair cover that was really badly Photoshopped, and GQ once a year does a comedy issue, and so what they did was they got these three girls who are comedians, and they deliberately Photoshopped this cover really, really badly. And so you've got all these limbs at odd angles and way too many hands for the number of people in the shot. And it's just classic. And what I love is the blurb that GQ came up with. GQ would like to apologize to Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, and Sarah Silverman for the egregious mistakes made in the process of creating the cover for our 2018 comedy issue, the latest in our pantheon of mostly blah blah blah. It goes on and on, but I like the last paragraph. It says, in an effort to ensure that an error of this magnitude never happens again, and because this sounds like the right thing to say, GQ will be conducting a thorough internal audit of our cover development process. To demonstrate our commitment to transparency, we will release the results of this review quietly in 17 months on Medium.
I love it.
But you got to go and check out their hilariously Photoshopped cover. That is just gold.
That's very cool.
So thank you, Adam. Dear. And that's it for me. What do you got?
Nothing? No, well, I did find one last little thing just as you were rabbiting on. I kind of zoned out for a while and looked at the internet.
Of course you did.
From DxO, talking about
they're going bankrupt.
Well, they've gone bankrupt, right. But only sort of part of. But they're saying that Nick Software, which they bought last year, is still on track for release in where was it? Is it June of this year?
Right.
Yeah, so June 2018, they're about to release the new version of the Nick collection.
Right.
Which would be fixing bugs apparently, and getting up to date compatibility with the latest OS and PC platforms.
Okay.
Which is fabulous because I mean I'm a big user of the Nick software and I've loved it for many years.
Right.
I know a lot of people have, so it's great to know that it's not going to die because Google kind of bought it and just let it sit there and gave it away for free, which is nice, but. Yeah, then they sort of let it die at the same time as well. So it was worth paying for originally. I think it used to be like $200 US.
Yeah.
It was actually worth paying for back in the day. So hopefully DxO can pull something out that's actually of value and worth paying for again and keeps it going for a fair period of time.
And DxO Labs says it's also planning to release a new free update of its PhotoLab imaging software in June as well. So nice. Well, good to see that they're, that Nick isn't going to disappear again.
I'm just having another little got zoned out again. read here. Remember a couple of weeks ago you talked about a competition where some guy had photoshopped a stuffed anteater.
Yes.
Onto a thing. Well, there's an article here saying it wasn't photoshopped. It's actually genuine.
Yeah. So the thing is stuffed, and I think he borrowed it and put it on the termite mound.
So he didn't take a photo of a stuffed anteater and insert it. He took a stuffed anteater
and photographed it. In situ, yeah.
So I think he's still disqualified. It's not quite genuine-ish. So
which is kind of a bit harsh because if he didn't Photoshop anything. What he captured in the camera is a legitimate photograph.
It is, but it depends on what the rules are for the competition.
Yeah, but I can't believe that there's some fine print in the competition entry that says all photographs of anteaters must be live anteaters.
Well, all animal photographs should be of live animals. If you're doing an animal photography...
You reckon that would be a requirement in the fine print?
I don't know. There might be, you know? The World Wildlife, it actually might be a different anteater. I'm just looking through this article. He's highlighting all these different splotches on this anteater versus the stuffed one.
Oh, okay.
They've done a poll. Do you agree with the museum that the winning photo shows the stuffed anteater? So out of 4,013 votes, 1,658 said, yes, it definitely does. 706 yes, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. 935 said, it's hard to say. And 714 people, so 17% of people said, no, they're different. So who knows?
Wow.
So the contest is sticking to its guns, apparently, and still not allowing it. The guy's saying, but. Oh, I love it. I love the photographic community. It's such a...
It's great. It's great. Oh, excellent. So what's on for the weekend?
Oh, I've got a natural light workshop tomorrow in really bland-looking light by the sound of it. So it's going right. to be a joy.
Right.
It's going to be so easy to deal with. And that's kind of it. I've got big plans, obviously. Yeah. Wild life that I lead of hard partying and nothing.
Yep.
But I'm putting some serious thought in right now for the rest of today. I try and think about living in the now rather than thinking about the future.
Right.
So after we hang up here, I've got a couple of big choices.
Nap time.
Well, that's my choice. Do I nap or do I watch a show and
fall asleep halfway through it?
Yeah, I'm thinking napping might work. So it's good night from him and it's good night from me.
Excellent.
See, I think I might have a little problem is my naps have been sort of extending into, I think the technical term is sleep of late.
Oh.
They've been dipping into the two and a half hour.
You're getting older, mate. You're getting older.
That's a fair consideration of nap, isn't it? Yeah. It's a fair bit of time.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, that's it. I do have to start building this presentation for the VAPS conference.
Yep.
And whilst I think about it, next Thursday, I think it is the 24th of June for people in Melbourne.
We're still in May, mate.
That's what I said, 24th of May. Yep. 24th of May, that better show up on the right day. I'm doing a talk at Michael's Cameras at lunchtime.
Right.
I think it might be 1 o'clock, I think, from memory,
on
travel photography. So, yeah.
Nice.
Need to kick off your lunch break and have a reason to not go back to work. I can give it to you.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I shall.
And we'll talk to you sometime next week.
No worries. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.